meeting started. It is Tuesday, April 16th, 2019, at 7:00 p.m., and we are meeting in the Spirit of Rose Community Center. We are going to start with a pledge given by Councilmember Anderson and a pledge given by Councilmember Miller.
Please rise and join in the pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our Father in heaven, we are grateful to you gather here this evening, this city council meeting, great city of Missouri. We're grateful for all the efforts, staff, those who help the city be a great city. We ask for your blessing upon us. We will be inspired to make decisions that are good and productive for this city, that we might be mindful of the liberties and freedoms that each individual enjoys here, and help cultivate a community that is desirable and safe. So pray in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
Thank you. So we'll move on to item number two, which is going to pull up the meeting's agenda if somebody wants to make that motion. Motion made by Councilmember Bailey. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Councilmember Anderson. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? We'll move on to item number three, which is the public comment portion of the meeting.
There's nothing.
No one signed up. Okay. So we will close our public comment portion and move on to item number four, which is the waste management recycling presentation.
Oops, you dropped his mic check.
Mayor and Council, thank you very much for having me on this evening. Before we get into talking about the state of recycling, I wanted to say thank you for having us as a partner with the city. I brought out a check for the Cedar Hills Festival that I wanted to give you guys this evening and say thank you for allowing us to be part of that. So if somebody wants to come up and accept
Mayor.
Let's get a picture.
Of course, I got to get a picture.
I want to go with you to the bank when you take that in.
Yeah, there you go.
That's
awesome. That routing number looks sort of iffy.
Don't go cash in. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. So, as we talk about recycling, I'm not going to hash over, I know you guys, Beth has gone over some of this in the past from last year, but really wanted to talk to you about the state of what's going on right now, projections, and really what the future looks like. But love to have this more conversational. There's a lot of conversation going on right now in the state of recycling, so please, as I, you know, speak, fire away with questions. And as we go through this, I wanted to talk about where you're at currently, some of the do's and don'ts of recycling, that we're seeing common contaminants, but there's some things that I wanted to commend the city on. A 7% diversion rate for the area you're in and really your demographic is really impressive and should be commended. We believe there's room for improvement and we'd love to be a continued partner to, you know, discuss what that looks like.
What exactly does that mean again?
That means that, you know, all of your waste stream, you were able to divert 7%. And I mean, that's true recycled goods that from start to finish and all. I'll show you on the next slide what that equates to for the city, because the number's pretty amazing when you put it into context of what can be done with those goods. But 313 tons, you look at that, it seems like a small number of recycled goods. It's over 600,000 pounds of recyclable material that was able to be processed just in the city of Cedar Hill. So that's something to be commended for, but when you look at what you're able to achieve through those recycled goods, being able to, by diverting them and not having to manufacture those items, you are able to power 94 homes, over 20,000 gallons of water, and saved over 3,000 trees. So a commend, it is just an incredible effort for your city. So it should be absolutely recognized for that. So as those items get discussed, I want to talk about the new way of doing things. And I guess it's not really new anymore, but the thing with recycling was we wanted to make it easier. So everybody would throw their waste in, and we'd take everything. You know, absolutely, I mean, we'd sort through it, everything goes into one can, and you increase participation. And that was good for a long time, and it'll continue to be that way, but really it's now time to home in on what needs to go into that can, because it's getting more and more expensive to recycle. And really those acceptable materials are your basics. You know, if you think you can't recycle it, you probably can't. So it's the basics. It's your cardboard, your paperboard, paper, plastic bottles, your metal bottles and cans. Those are really the items that you can recycle at this point that have a strong commodities-based market. I see a bunch of pictures. There are any questions around this? So as I show you, as we talk about what can be recycled, what can't be recycled, and I tell this story because here I've been with waste management, I say I'm a recycled employee, used to be with waste management, and I've come back, but I was so diligent about recycling. I had the two cans, I put everything in one container, one in the other container, put it in a plastic bag, and I did my first MRF tour, materials recovery facility tour. And I said, why aren't they opening those plastic bags? He said, oh, plastic bags don't get open. And it's one of the biggest misconceptions that happen, that your recycling goods cannot be placed in plastic container. And at Waste Management, we see everything at the MRF. You would be amazed. I'll show you an example of you know, your wax paper cups, plastic wrappers, plastic containers. We see it all, and it's really, as I showed on the last slide, it's like getting back to the basics. At our single stream facility, truly, we see everything, and I put the kitchen sink because that actually came through our West Jordan facility. Last month, I hope it was an accident, but in Phoenix, we had a pipe on, so you truly see full engine blocks that people think they can recycle. But you'll notice that the biggest thing that jams up our system in the West Jordan office is plastic bags. People throwing plastic bags. Not only is it not recyclable, it gums up the system. So at our new facility, although they still won't be recycled, we won't have that issue.
So I got a question. So, and I'm not sure I've seen it recently, but a lot of the stores for a while did this recycle of the plastic bags to bring them in. I don't know if they still do. I don't see that around as much as the grocery bags.
They do. Most do.
So that's not really recycling. Where do those go? It's straight to the dump, isn't it?
Unfortunately.
So, I mean, I didn't know what the point was.
Feel good.
Yeah.
It was a feel good thing.
Yeah, and they try to reuse them, but. Yeah, I couldn't answer that question. I can tell you there's not enough for plastic bags.
Okay.
So, but that's a great question. I believe what they do is they try to reuse them at the grocery store where they can if they're, but I couldn't say for sure. So
they can't. They're not allowed by state health code. They can't. Who knows what was in it?
Yeah, I I know that we don't recycle them at any of our facilities. So.
I thought maybe they burned them or something, but we don't do that anymore, so I don't know.
Talk about burning. But as we talk about contamination, I know it's been ingrained with the China sword and what has happened, but I just want to point out that the impact that has had going from taking a one-ton bale and being able to say that, you know, over 25% of that can be contamination now to 10 pounds. It's pretty difficult. So, but, so we've talked about that. Yes, we've had to add extra people, and it is cumbersome right now. And with the commodities market, it really is dragging things down. With that contamination rate, but what's exciting is we're finally seeing some improvement with different outlets within the recycling industry, because we're committed. We're going to continue to do it. Waste management has mandates of what we will process, and we continue to do that provider. But what we're seeing is all of that was going on in China is now coming back domestically. They're starting to invest here in the United States, and you're seeing paper mills open back up, domestic plastic mills opening back up. So there's other avenues for recycled goods. We've also found outlets in India, Vietnam, Malaysia, and South Korea. So there are some exciting times on the horizon for recycling, but yes, it is very valuable. So it all comes back to quality, quality, quality. It's the number one thing in recycling. And it's really about getting back to basics. As I mentioned in the beginning, plastic bottles, cans, paper, and cardboard. Keep the food and liquid out of the recycling. Do your best effort to clean it out, but it doesn't need to be perfect. We say make your best effort, and then make sure you're emptying the recycling goods directly in the can, not putting them into plastic bags. And, you know, we want to be that partner of choice for you and really providing any social media outlets that we can provide. Bill insert outreaches, you know, making that joint effort to drive that diversion rate even higher and being able to give that information to the residents of Cedar Hills so they truly know what can and can't be recycled. It's a joint effort at this point.
Where is that picture of that facility? Where is that? I mean, that was like the one you had before. Is it Utah or is this out of state?
I would venture to guess it's out of state because I pulled that from our Recycle Off and Recycle Right website, so I couldn't say for sure, but I believe it would be out of state.
So is there anywhere in the state that is tourable for us types?
So glad you asked. So one of the exciting things on the horizon, many of you may have seen it in the paper. First off, yes, you can come to our West Jordan facility anytime. Let me know. I'd love to set up a tour. But Waste Management just invested $15 million in one of the most state-of-the-art recycling centers that will come online projecting March of 2020. So it's, I mean.
In West Valley, Oregon.
It will be in Salt Lake City. So, and it is, I mean, it's pretty impressive the optics that we're putting into this facility and what it will really do to change the game of recycling. And having that here in Utah, it just shows our commitment to recycling. It's not going anywhere. We're doubling down and putting processes into place to make sure that we have that technology for our cities. And as we talk about it, just some ideas other cities have looked at, you know, doing a joint effort of working towards tagging contaminated cards, really, you know, putting procedures into place to work with the city. There's many different options. They can show through the social media outreach, bill inserts, tagging contaminated cards. There's many options that we'd really love to see that participation level go up.
I had a few residents suggest that the blue cans have a sticker on them, has that visual of these are what you can put in, these are what you can't. So when people are throwing it in, they have that visual right there. Is that an option?
It is an option. It's something we can work with the city on. It's something we've done for other cities. We did it for one of our particular cities in Woods Cross. But that is definitely an option. There's a cost associated with that. I mean, these are not your run-of-the-mill stickers. But what we did with, we worked with the Scouts. They did a campaign with the Scouts, and the Scouts went out and put them on. But we love to, you know, that is definitely something that we could work with the city to do something like that. So they, and a couple other options, there's magnets. Some of the proposals were magnets. Some were, they decided that they thought the best option was putting a sticker on the car. As I talk about, and as I end the presentation, we continue to be the right partner, and not that, you know, put a feather in our cap, but it comes back to, it's a shared value, it's a shared commitment to a long-term process. And we want to make sure that we're educating the residents of Cedar Hills of the do's and don'ts of what can be recycled. We invested, not sure if there's any golfers, but in February, there was a large golf tournament in Phoenix that had zero waste. And if you watched any part of that golf tournament, you got to see it ingrained of what can and can't be recycled. And that's the type of partner that we have. We have a national campaign to help your residents on the do's and don'ts of recycling. Security, stability, and then peace of mind. And I leave you with really, we're doubling down on recycling, committing to it, bringing it here to Salt Lake City. A lot of people, not sure what's going to happen in recycling. We're investing here in Salt Lake to ensure that you have a sustainable program here locally. So, and if you have any questions, I leave you with Recycle Often, Recycle Right. It's a great place for your residents to, as they have questions, everything recycling can be found there. It's RORR.com, and it really goes through recycling, trash, composting, whatever you can imagine about waste and recycling can be found on Recycle Often, Recycle Right.
So question for you, I know we have the diversion rate, but is there any data that you can provide that shows us how much of what was put in recycling cans that was actually sent to a recycling facility versus landfill? And the reason I ask that is we know rates are going up, and I think most people in our community who have a recycling can would be willing to pay that increase if they felt confident that most of what they're recycling is actually being recycled. If it's going to the landfill because of the issues with China or whatever the case is, they may decide to go to the cheaper rate of having a second can. And I just want to make sure that we're presenting residents with what those options are.
Absolutely. So, yes, we do have those figures. And it's one of the number one questions I get asked. And this is what I can tell you about waste management. Whatever your residents put in their recycle container, it gets processed with waste management. Okay, we have a commitment at a corporate level that it will be processed. Now, that's not to say with the weather we've had and as you go through the system and cardboard can get contaminated, yes, there are times when contamination occurs and it goes to the landfill. But we have a commitment to your residents that what they put in their container gets processed and gets recycled. Now, there are things that happen along the way, but I can't provide you those figures. Yep, no problem.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
I think you said the contamination rate was 28%. Is that in our city or statewide? Or
I'll confirm that number.
It was on your slide. It's in the United States.
No, that's the United States. That's the 28% is what China used to allow. That went through, but I can confirm your contamination rate. It is close to that 28%, but I can get that for you.
Any other questions? All right, thank you so much.
Thank you, appreciate it.
All right, Council, we're going to move on to our consent agenda, which is an approval of the minutes from the February 19, 2019, the March 5, 2019, and the March 19, 2019 work session with City Council meetings. Do we have a motion for that?
I move that we approve the consent agenda.
Motion made by Councilmember Geddes, is there a second?
Second.
Second by Councilmember Brady, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Moving on to items 6 and 7, our city reports and business, starting with Mr. Goodwin.
Yeah, on our recreation department, we've got tot soccer and kindergarten through second grade soccer, and our teen soccer programs have all started. Weather cooperating, hopefully. If you've had the chance to drive by the golf course, you'll know that it looks amazing. It also looks empty with all the rain, so we're hoping for the weather to clear up so golfers can come out. We recently had an employee in the events staff, Brooke Bradford, left to go to another event center. Full-time, and we've hired a new employee, Courtney, so come say hi to her if you can introduce yourself. They're planning on expanding the amount of advertising they're doing for the Vista Room, so we're looking forward to that. We do have some new summer programs for kids. We have a bowling league once again, and we're starting our new science camp, and then for the stressed out adult, we have meditation class, so come check that out. Creekside Theater is starting, and they're getting ready for their June performances, so look for that information as well. And then in the next week, we have the Easter egg hunt for the children, and the teen sprint will be taking place on Saturday. So that'll be here at the community center with the dance and pizza to follow that event. You may have noticed Canyon Road will begin milling portions of Canyon Road, so plan for a detour on your route. And then we have the spring cleanup coming up April 27th and May 4th. Then we have dumpsters located at Sunset Park, Heritage Park, the Rec Center, Tip Cove Park, and the corner of Morgan Boulevard and Sage Vista. And then finally, we have upcoming in June, we have the citywide election. The filing period will be June 3rd through the 7th. So if you or somebody that you know is interested in running for one of the 3 open council seats, please let them know of that filing period. Thank you. That's all I have.
Councilmember
Anderson. I have nothing, but I do have a question, and I didn't notice recently. Did this sign get repaired?
Oh, the golf course signs are being replaced.
Okay.
You'll notice that they're down. They should be up in the next couple of days. Is that right, Greg?
Tomorrow.
Some of them were sun faded, some of them were cracked, and we're putting in a spot where we can put a logo for whoever's the tenant of the grill, like they're going to be able to advertise there as well. We're excited about those new signs.
I have nothing to
So nothing to but I have a question for Greg too. Is it weather on the golf course net? Is that what we're waiting on?
There's a sewer line that runs under it, so we had to change some of the permitting. So we're anticipating that to commence in about 2 weeks in the weather cooperation. There's a sewer main that runs from the Cedar Canyon, or sorry, not Cedar Canyon, the Cedars subdivision, and it runs through the fairway, through the driving range and under the nets. So they replaced some poles too close, so we've had to work on some permitting, so we've been working with the engineers on that. So we're doing that and then some licensing, so we're working with them on that.
I only have a few things. Foyer presented updated plans for the land south of Lone Peak, and I did post those online if you haven't happened to see them, but they brought their housing number down to about 699, and there's a small, about 6-7 acres of commercial land that will be right on North County Boulevard and Harvey Boulevard, is what they're anticipating for right now, but the land will all be sold to Foyer. UTA has a survey out on their service choices, and they're asking for residents to weigh in on that, and it's really sharing information on what whether you want to increase ridership or increase coverage. And now that they have that additional sales tax revenue coming in, they're asking for feedback as they're expanding their services. And then last thing was I got to participate yesterday in the NOVA graduation at Cedar Ridge Elementary, and please let District Anderson know how much we appreciate all that he does for the kids in our community. It's fun to see how much they love him. Very excited to see. Really?
Just a reminder, put on your calendars, Saturday, May 18th is the Cedarville Day of Service. Good opportunity to get out, make our city even more beautiful. Please invite your neighbors and friends to come out. Those from about 10 a.m. or 11 p.m.
Do we know what that is this year? Is it going to be the roundabout?
So there's about 4 or 5 different projects that will split up. Usually something at the roundabout or something at the at some of the trails in the city, but there'll be multiple locations.
All right, thank you. We'll move on to our scheduled items. The first one being item number 8, a discussion on membership of the appointment of the Mountain Chamber of Commerce. Mark will present.
Thank you for allowing me to have that agenda tonight. I appreciate that. Just wanted to address the city council and discuss some of the things that the Plain Mountain Chamber is currently working on. If you're not aware of the chamber and who we are, we recently rebranded earlier this year in February. We were the Lehigh Area Chamber of Commerce, and we're now the Plain Mountain Chamber of Commerce. We talked with the city extensively on that and with other cities in the area and discussed our future goals and plans. And kind of the need to reach out to businesses in South Salt Lake County and other areas that we felt like could use some of the services that we offer and some of the programs. We're a rapidly growing chamber, and we found a good niche with the Plain Mountain region. And so we're approaching 300 members, and believe we'll surpass that this year. So once we get 300 members, I believe that will make us the largest chamber in Dauphin County, according to some of the numbers out there. But I believe that's about where we're going to be positioned. A little bit about myself. I'm the CEO. My name is Mark Welker. I'm the CEO of the chamber and have been for about 7 years or so. Some of my background, my experience, you kind of get to know me a little bit better. I was on the board of directors for the Utah State Chamber of Commerce, the former chair of the chamber there, which is an association of chambers from across the state. It's not a membership per se for businesses, but it's a membership of chambers. And we hold two meetings a year, semi-annual meetings, winter and summer. Winter meeting is held at State Capitol, where we have our representatives come in during the session and talk to the chambers, usually representatives from the governor, committee staff men. We talk about different issues that are going on the state, and the chambers that are there offer feedback and things of that nature. It's a good chamber meeting. It's about 2 or 3 days. Then we have a second meeting that takes place this summer, and that rotates to different chambers around the state, which is great. And it gives the chambers around the state to kind of showcase their wares and what they, you know, what they're about. Every chamber is a little bit different in what they offer and who they serve and what they're about. And so it's good. And so it's pretty useful. I'm also on the board for Vision Utah. If you're familiar with Vision Utah, I have been on the board for several years there. I felt like Utah County was underrepresented, and so I went and met with Robert Rowe, and we had talked for a while at the Mountain Point Center in North Lehigh, and had a good meeting, and he invited me to be on the board at that time, and it's been useful. With so much that's going on in the Plain Mountain region, I felt like, and my conversation with him was along the lines of, we need representation to represent North Utah County. For a lot of large businesses, corporations are coming here all over North Utah County and make sure that our views are fairly represented with plans that are going on. And as you know, Vision Utah is working with Utah County for a long-term plan. And so we want a proper representation on that board. So my board supports me on that, my chamber board. So that's been a good experience. I'm a graduate of IOM, which is an Institute for Organization Management. It's a program through the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. It's a four-year program, and completed that several years ago, and which is basically focuses on nonprofit management. It's a good program, and I encourage other chamber professionals to go through the same program. It's fantastic. And now I currently attend the WACE, which is the Western Association of Chamber Executives. So I feel like it's important to keep continuing my, sharpening my skills so I can represent the business as well. Mayor, would you like me to kind of look at the same points that we saw? Okay. So some of the things that we're proposing as a chamber where we feel like we could serve the city of Cedar Hills would be to be invited to some of the programs and events that we offer. One of the things I feel like the chamber, the city, could benefit from would be in our executive roundtable. This is an event that we've held for about 3 or 4 years now. It's a high level event. It's a C-suite level event. And so we invite mayors, and we invite county officials, we invite educators, basically higher end CEOs of the companies that are larger employers. And it's not meant to keep anybody else out, but we want a representation from the business district that where there's a lot of employees represented. And so you can only have so many seats around the boardroom table before you can't accomplish as much. And so the meetings that are there that take place each quarter are determined by those who can. It's not another chamber meeting, which we felt was important. Chambers have different needs than Adobe or iFlash or anybody else that attends meetings. And we wanted them to set the agenda. We wanted them to bring concerns that are important to them. We invite ACS, which is the corporation or the company that won the economic development contract in Utah County, with Todd Bragwell, Brandon Fugel, Lou Kramer, those guys. So they attend, Todd Bragwell usually attends from that group. And we discuss, and we invite our legislators. So we normally, a typical meeting would go along the lines of discussing a legislative update after the session. We have usually a meeting before the session where businesses come in and they kind of share their needs and desires with our legislators, and the mayors do as well. It's a fantastic meeting. Then after the session, we get back together and we do a recap. And so the politics or the political side of that is one aspect. We also discuss things such as transportation needs, and we relay our needs to our elected officials as well. This time we'll have, this next month, our next meeting, we'll have probably Todd Bridewell give a nice economic update of what's going on in Utah County. Since they won the contract, we feel like we kind of know what's going on. We need to know what they're working on, so we can be educated on what their priorities are and what maybe perhaps what they should be. So we would invite the city to participate in that meeting. We have a business program that we feel like is very attractive. It's newer to Utah, and it's not a new concept outside of Utah. It's something that we wanted to try in Utah, and we know that it's highly successful. And that program is offering trial memberships to new businesses, and that membership is free of charge. There is no cost at all to the business, whether the business is the smallest of the small business that works from the home office, or the largest business that comes in. It could be a Walmart or whatever that's already here. And that doesn't matter. We want them. One of the biggest questions I face when I meet with the business owner is, well, what is a chamber? What do you do? And it used to be everybody joined a chamber. You watch an old Western movie, and they make nonstop references to chambers. Chambers even used to put up rewards to catch bad guys. And so it's a different world now. And you have young professionals that are entering the workforce, and they don't know what chambers do. And so we feel like if every business had a chance to have one free year in the Chamber of Commerce, one full season of cycle of events, they do a weekly email that goes out, a newsletter each week, let them know or have a great idea anyway of what a chamber does. And then as they have questions, I'd be happy to meet with them. If they're home-based business, we invite them to come to the chamber office to meet. Or we can meet them for lunch or something else. And if they have a brick and mortar, well, they're in their office and meet with them there. And they can ask questions at that point, and we have ambassadors who would meet with them and answer questions. They can be invited to all the different meetings the chamber offers. If there's a cost involved, then it would be only to cover the cost of their lunch or something. I couldn't afford to cover everyone's lunch for a year. That would be an expensive proposition, but I can certainly offer them a free membership. And there are costs, hard costs for me. And I've talked to my board about this extensively. We feel like we could do this. And I believe after a year's time, a lot of those businesses will see the value of what the chamber does, and they'll want to join at that point. And the question is going to be, well, how much is it? Are you expensive? Well, a home-based member or business can join for $100 for the entire year. I mean, it's the cost of a value bill anymore. and each month, and that's quite affordable. So as a former small business owner, I would have loved to have had something like this. This would have been highly valuable to me. I didn't know much about chambers, and I could have really used the networking, and my paychecks covered everything from school clothes to business expenses. And this would have been fantastic for me. So as I approached my board and expressed these concerns and opportunities, they were very supportive. And we feel like it would be just a fantastic program. And we would do this, we're going to do this in multiple cities. So we feel it'll be a great benefit. One of the things I really struggled with as well was search engine optimization. And if you have to pay for that on your own, that's expensive. It gets quite expensive. And that's something we can also offer free for these new businesses as they become members of the Chamber of Commerce. Another program that we want to do, we're still not in process or production yet. It's we're getting close. We've got a texting service online now. We're vetting it now. We're sending out texts to different groups and committees of things and making sure that it works well. But we want to offer a shop local program through the texting service to the citizens, the residents of the city. And as they go into their shopping, grocery stores or different retail outlets or service industry kind of types of places, they would see that this program is online, and then they can opt in, and then they would receive a red hot deal kind of thing. We would probably do it once or twice a week, and we'd give residents a chance to, or an incentive, to go shop local instead of going somewhere else and spend their money in other cities. This has been done in other chambers. I went to a presentation on this at the last conference I attended, and a chamber here in Arizona was doing this, and they found it to be extremely valuable. They were facing some economic challenges as they redefined the freeways, and they implemented this program, and they it really helped save the city. The residents were then incentivized to shop local instead of going to other cities. And now it's so successful to have residents in other cities coming to their city to shop. And it's just a simple texting program. The business lets the chamber know what they have to offer. And if it's a red hot deal, then they send it out and goes to everyone who's opted in. And you can opt out at any time. We feel that would be a great program as well. We have networking that's been in place for a lot of years. Before I was hired, 7 years ago, we've had some great networking programs. We have a monthly networking now that encompasses businesses from Eagle Mountain to the west, to the east side of Linden and Pleasant Grove, and businesses, frankly, that are up north that are members of various chambers. They come and attend the networking, and it's fantastic. And if we rotate that event between our chamber and Bear and Ford, Pleasant Grove. Pleasant Grove is kind of going through some restructuring, so they're not currently hosting it, but they still attend, but they will be hosting it again very soon, and they'll do a great job. It's a good event, and everyone's invited. What's nice about this event is a lot of people who attend are not chamber members, and we really don't care. We just want them to come, and after a few months or several months, and sometimes a year, they end up joining one of the chambers, which is great. And so, if they come and I'm hosting, and they'll say, "Hey, how do I join? Where's your business?" And American Fork, and I'll go tell them to join American Fork, and then American Fork will do the same thing for me, or Pleasant Grove, whatever. And so we're careful not to cannibalize members that should be in those cities. So it's a great event. Also, we had a business alliance networking event that's done quarterly in Saratoga Springs. We've done that for long since long before I was hired. It's a fantastic event. And frankly, that was an answer to a political firestorm. Eagle Mountain City and Saratoga Springs hated the name Lehigh Area Chamber of Commerce. They hated the name because they were paying dues to Lehigh, and they didn't like it. So Ethel Healy, Mark Christensen, those guys, they just hated the name, and they were very clear about it. And I kept pleading with them, someday the name's going to change, someday the name's going to change, hang in there with us. And finally, Mayor Wilson, before he left office, he finally gave them one day and said, "Okay, all right, Mark, what's the name going to be?" I didn't think he was going to say that, so I said, "I don't know, what do you think?" I hadn't thought that far ahead yet. And so we kind of had some fun and got some names. And then I sought the city's approval again when Mayor Johnson assumed the role of mayor, and he's been great with the names. He's like, I don't care what the name is, just keep doing what you're doing because things are going well. So we have the support of our cities. And I can tell you now that Saratoga Springs is, you know, the cities are, they're happy with the name because it's not legal anymore. So that was a pressure point that was alleviated. And the Business Alliance program was put in place to keep everyone happy because it was, at least it was something where they could hold a meeting local that wasn't Lehigh. It was their own event, Saratoga Springs event, and the local businesses attended. And it's been so popular that businesses from Eagle Mountain and Lehigh go to that event because of the way it's structured. We cover best practices types of programs and things. So you could be anything from QuickBooks to marketing to sales, anything that they feel like they need, and they offer suggestions, and then we find speakers. And they actually have their own committee, they find their own speakers, so it's not the chamber, it's them. And it's kind of a program underneath the umbrella of the chamber. And then we support them financially to make sure the event is successful. So we kind of subsidize the lunches, whether it's due to a discount, or twice a year the chamber takes those lunches and they're completely free. So business owners can come in and be free of charge. This, in one of those meetings, the city offers an update. They love to do that. And the businesses love to have, you know, ask questions and things. And so they get a nice economic outlook update from the city. The second one is a networking event. And then two, we have speakers come in. So it's pretty popular. We would do the same thing here. We would offer a business alliance structure that would be fantastic, be beneficial to the city. We could combine with multiple cities, or we could ask for your direction, we could do it just in your city. It would be up to you. We'd be happy to do that. We've been doing it for a lot of years. We know what we're doing. We're good at it. So we would be happy to do it here. The last thing I have on my presentation here is city membership. We would love for Cedarville to be a member of the Chamber of Commerce. It's not required. We could move forward without membership. We could even say, hey, we could offer you the trial membership and say, okay, we're going to take you up on your deal. We'll be a trial member for a year. See how it goes. You decide if we like you or not. Decide if your program is worthwhile. And then either catch a loose or join. Do you have the handout? Membership is just based on population. So it's affordable, it's inexpensive, and it's something that we feel like was important to do it that way. In the past, there was some animosity a little bit, or maybe some resentment between a few cities, saying that Lehigh was the 800-pound gorilla in the room, and we pay $5,000 a year, and Lehigh's going to get all the attention because we're paying $20,000 a year, whatever it is. And so we've got to do this as we rebrand. So we said, what we're going to do is based on population. Everybody gets the exact same title. It's a community partner membership with the new structure. Everybody that's a city, it's in fact only cities, and maybe someday Utah County would come in and get that community partner membership. Everybody gets the exact same level of respect, and membership fees wouldn't be discussed. Logos would be prominently displayed equally. It wouldn't matter whether you're paying $3,000 or at least Lehigh's case. Actually, under this structure, Lehigh would be less. They'd be probably around $19,000. So they would probably like this if you're paying less. Saratoga Springs would go up a little bit, and they already like the idea because they would be on par with Lehigh. Same level of respect. So we feel like this would be fair for cities. Why charge a city a lot more when the population isn't there? It's not fair. The business district is as big. So we feel like this is a very fair membership. And again, if you want to wait a year, we'll work fine with that. If it's okay. It's a chance to show you what you can do. So if you have any questions, you have.
Thank you. So just to clarify, so the year free membership, that would be for the city, but also for any businesses within our city.
Yes.
They are already a member.
All business, all businesses in the city.
And then on the texting service, if we were a member and wanted to use that to advertise, like maybe a special at our law course or something, would that be an option for the city?
Yeah. Well, the way it's set up is you can set different groups underneath the texting platform. In fact, we could probably get the city admin rights. The city could just go in and select the city residents and push something out to the residents and allow to anybody can be like, we'll do that, with that, or with the next year. So, and it's would be great, and we'll charge for that.
And then my last question is, obviously one of the things that we are interested in is also raising some awareness to our golf course and increasing customers here. I know that you have a corporate membership for your members. Is that something that you would be willing to work out with us where the Cedar Coast Golf Course can participate with that?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. In fact, we've been in negotiations with Thanksgiving Point as well for the same thing. So, yeah, that's... And one of the pressure points that we felt a little bit with Towns Cove is they said, hey, as you guys grow, we're having more golfers come out. At some point, we're worried that you're going to have so many corporate golfers coming through that it's going to affect tournaments and things. And so we've talked about either paying them more money to keep that service, you know, stay relevant and important on their mind, or we thought, why not spread them down a little bit and add additional golf courses, which seem to be great right now. So we could definitely do that.
Any other questions from the council?
I mean, I've been members of chambers. It seems interesting. We've got proposals from.
Seems like.
Why do we need to? What's that?
You're in Cedar Hills?
Well, no, I'm just saying that the whole chamber idea is great. You know, business, all that kind of stuff. But it seems like the chambers compete against each other. It just seems kind of odd.
The chambers compete?
Yeah.
So let me bring some national trends right now. And it's both good and bad, I think. The national trends now are for chambers to combine and to be cut to form what I call super chambers. And that's kind of actually in Salt Lake right now, the Sandy Chamber is trying to grow and kind of, I won't say absorb because that's not bad, but bringing other chambers to form larger chambers because with the extra dues that come in, the extra prominence for being a larger chamber, you can get more done. Now, we've discussed that in here in North Utah, Canada. We decided we didn't want to do that. You know, American Fork had with their chamber goes back a long way.
Right.
They actually have the counting records that go, and they can go back and trace. It's quite impressive. You can go back like 1940 or something, 30, whatever, and look at some of the first businesses that were there in the city. And it's really neat. And so they felt like they would lose their identity if we combined. You know, so we, and our board also, we looked at this as well. And thought, yeah, you know, we can work together, but let's be honest. Let's do our own thing, but work together. Right? We're all working together on the Valley Vision Project. There are 8 chambers in Utah County. This is the first time that's ever happened. And I was surprised that it actually did happen because there was so much competition with Utah Valley Chamber. And none of the other chambers wanted to work with that chamber because we all felt like they were a little bit predatory. And so, long story short, we said, okay, let's put our differences aside and let's work together for the benefit of Utah County. And we're doing that, and it's fantastic. So, chambers do compete. You can't get around that. Now, American Fork and I, us, I should say, it's not my chamber, our chamber. I don't go into his businesses. I don't go into his cities and ask them to join my chamber. And he doesn't, to my knowledge, do that with mine. I don't think he's a trustworthy guy. I like him a lot. I've known him for a lot of years. He was on my board of directors. And so I've never done that. And there's a respect that's there. And so, but that's kind of rare. It's kind of rare to have that. You know, I know in Salt Lake there's some similar agreements that are in place with chambers, but as a whole, I mean, I know when you look back in Chicago and some of the other large cities, there's a chamber that, as they say in their own words, there's a chamber on every corner, and they're always at war with each other, trying to go after every little special interest group and anything they can to pull in more members to get more power kind of thing, and so it's kind of, you know, dog eat dog, I guess, kind of mentality. And it's not so much that way here. I think as states grow, as populations grow, it's unavoidable to some extent. But, you know, as long as these relationships are there, I think a lot of that can be avoided. And we will.
So, like, is it exclusionary? I mean, if we were to, say, take you up on your offer for free for a year, Is it exclusionary? So we would be in your chamber, we could not join the...
No, I would encourage you to join American Sport, Pleasant Grove, and Yukon Valley, and everybody else who want to.
I talked to a few organizations that they
sure.
members of
the exactly. Yeah, we have, so American Sport Hospital is a member of American Sport, I believe Pleasant Grove, our chamber, Mount Point Medical is a member of local chambers, Costco is a member of local chambers, banks join almost every chamber, it just makes sense. It just makes sense, and I think that's a great way to go. I mean, if you want to have representation from each city, why not?
So currently the city members in your chamber are Lehigh and Saratoga Springs, or is it?
We have members, for as far away from out of state, but but we have members, we have large corporations that are downtown Salt Lake.
What about cities?
Cities. So cities right now is Saratoga Springs and Lehigh.
I think it said Eagle Mountain.
Eagle Mountain is starting a venture. They're starting their own chamber. And so Eagle's been wanting to do that for a long time, since long before I was hired. And I talked about it probably four times. He said, you're not, in my humble opinion, not ready yet. You don't have enough of the business base. And Saratoga Springs actually looked at the same thing when Mayor Love was there. They did an analysis and said, are we ready to start our own chamber? They came to the conclusion they were about 15 years to... It's too early for them to do it, and they probably they've got a lot more brick and mortar than Eagle Mountain. So, last time I checked, Eagle Mountain had about 15 members in the chamber, 16 members. I don't know how long it's going to last, but we support them. We invite them to everything, and we wish them well. And we're still going to work in Eagle Mountain because we have probably 40 members in Eagle Mountain. So, but we promote our events with them, and then we promote for one thing as well. So, I think we can coexist. For as long as it lasts, anyway, right? So.
Any other questions from the council? All right, thank you, Mark, for the presentation.
Thanks for your time, appreciate it.
So, council, my recommendation on this, Chandler and I met last week also with the Pleasant Grove and the Grove Chamber, those two cities combined. And so I will provide that information to you. But I am going to be out of the country at our next council meeting. So, will be at our second council meeting in May that we have it on our agenda to decide if we want to go with a particular one, multiple ones, none of them, or just under each other for the next week. Does that work?
Sure.
Okay. All right, and let's move on to item number 9, which is a review action public hearing on adoption of the tentative fiscal year 2020 budgets. You guys do not have to save for the rest of this
week.
Our games
are for
lockdown.
Unless you want to learn about our bars. I'm going to go through the presentation that Mr. Lowe prepared. Unfortunately, he cannot be here tonight. He's at a training for finance directors. So I'm going to go through this. All right, let's talk about sunset nets. The recent trend, the recent water activities and trends. Let's start with overall city use. We've known for quite a while that as a city, for a while we've known that we use a lot of water. We've known that, hence now this came out in a study on our system and pressures that were unique to our system in terms of having to pump the water through the system up to the tanks and then feeding every resident to water their lawns at night. From that study, the city adopted some conservation methods, which would be the water restrictions. So we assigned every home days which they can water. And since 2015, we've been tracking that, and we have seen some decrease in some years and increases in other years. It's more affected, but what we've determined is it's more affected actually by the weather conditions than it is by restrictions. If you're restricted to Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you'll water Monday morning and Monday night, and then not Tuesday, and then Wednesday morning, Wednesday night. So we're not seeing a savings there by doing the restrictions. Additionally, we've done some maintenance and rehabilitation. Harvey Wells was down for about a year as we did rehabilitation there. We've had a number of issues with Cottonwood Well, which we've actually gotten up and running and is now functioning as it should. But there's about a year and a half when we were having issues with that. And as I said in the work session, there's a number of issues that have been, occurred that are outside of our control or outside of our jurisdiction. Central Utah Water had a landslide in Provo Canyon that affected their ability to deliver CUP. And that's just an example where if we rely quite heavily on Central Utah Water for delivering our irrigation water to the residents, if something were to happen to their ability to deliver that water, we would be in quite a bind in order to deliver the desired water to the residents. And then, as mentioned in the work session, the state has legislated mandatory secondary water meters plans, at least. So we're working on that plan to submit to the state. That plan will include how many connections we have, what we anticipate that cost would be to install those meters, and what we believe a phasing timeline that would work for us would look like, as well as an educational component. How do we let our residents know? We've installed these meters, so how do we let the residents know that there are watering restrictions or that there are watering guidelines that they should be following with these meters? This fund example, it comes from the fiscal year ending 2018, so it's a year ago, but it's, like I said, it's the last audited financial statements that we have. The 25% of the fund does go to personnel benefits and wages, and you see that another about 12% goes to it's a straight pass along to Tipton Special Service District for sewer. And then you have another 25%, whereabouts 26%, that is interest and principal payments on the bonds for the systems, that's for the wells and pressure irrigation system. And then we do pay quite a bit of money to Rock Mountain Power for our electrical costs as we have to pump the water up the hill and then rain back down. So there's quite a bit of cost associated with that. And then water purchases. We have our annual allotment for our water shares that we have to pay to various organizations that will be our shareholders. And one other thing to note is that we're currently working with Bowen Collins to do a water rights study. The study shows us the accurate a picture of where our water rights currently are, how many water rights we have, where we have water rights to, making sure that we're using those, and when there's adjudication on those water rights, that we're notifying the state that we are using them properly. The one thing that we're hoping to learn is, where do we need to go with our water rights? Are we needing to purchase more water rights? As a city, we're using more water than we're supposed to. We have to ask ourselves, is that because we don't have enough water rights, or are we just using too much water? And so that's a question that we'll be probably following up with the council. Then you can see that there's other just maintenance and improvements throughout the water sewer fund. This is our TSSD outflows month over month, year over year. You see that right in this section, you can see that during the months from October to January, we start seeing an increase. And Jeff gave a couple of reasons during the work break of why that could be, but my feelings are is that there's probably not one big explanation, but multiple smaller explanations. So he suggested, well, school's in session, and you do see an uptick when school starts coming into session, but that doesn't explain the drop, the precipitous drop in February you see in March, because school's still in session there. He also proposed that there could be some infiltration from the snow into the system as the snow sits on the system and percolates into the pipes. But that also, in 2017, we had quite a dry year. That winter was quite dry. You still see that numbers raises there. So, like I said, that's what made me believe there's probably a number of small explanations leading to a big explanation. This is our impact fee collections, and you can see that as a city, we're not going quite as much, or nearly as much as any other city. I anticipate a small uptick on this as we develop Cedar Canyon subdivision, then it'll go back to that, so very limited growth. But with that, you see that our water sewer impact fees are at a negative right now, meaning that we're spending a certain amount of money on water and sewer qualified projects that we intend to reimburse as can't wait those impact fees come in. Water, we're spending approximately $110,000 each year on qualified projects for the specialism impact fees. You can see there's that just a straight trend line going down. The upcoming projects, I mentioned the PRB project that we're working on for the current system. We're also doing that water rights study. And there's a number of other projects that we're evaluating the need for, some of those being chlorination stations out in 2021. Those are merely ideas at this point if they're needed. But we do anticipate that there could be a need for a well replacement. This would be a big one. We need for a well replacement at a future date if we have problems with our wells. And that's something I think the city needs to just evaluate and be aware of. The Cottonwood well was bonded for, and that cost approximately a little over $2 million in 2007, 2008.
Yeah, it was finished in 2009, so yeah.
Okay. So those prices are not the same. So we can get an idea of what that would cost. And then finally, this last bullet point here is the secondary water use. We estimate preliminarily that we're looking at about $1,100 per connection. The number of connections that we have, we're anticipating spending $2.75 to $3.75 million on that project should the state require that. New homes will be required to have that put in starting July 1 of this year. Is that this year?
I thought it was this year.
It goes next April. April 1st, every newly planned. So you can plan it through April 1st, but if you plan something after April 1st of next year, then that'd be required.
I don't anticipate any major subdivisions. There could be one more, but the one we're speaking of, Cedar Canyon, they're already anticipating installing those on their homes. And with our limited growth, that we're not going to see a lot of new meters in that regard. Ours would be placing those meters on existing connections. But here you can see a snapshot of various city's utility bills and what's found on those bills. This kind of teal color, dark color here initially is the city's water costs. We have a higher water cost than many. It's very average comparatively. But I think that that's due to some of these cities that have a higher water cost here, like Linden, Draper, Saratoga Springs, maybe not, but Pleasant Grove. They don't charge separately for CUP. So if they're using CUP water, that could be found inside of their water assessment. Sewer are pretty similar as most of these cities, even Mount Lehigh, or part of it, but Pleasant Grove, Alpine, Highland. See, those are all part of the same district, so those rates are very similar. And then garbage is, I believe, we're very average on garbage as well. Where we kind of set ourselves apart, though, is we do have this paramedic fee, and our PI is quite expensive. And I tried to explain that in terms of we have a unique system where we're actually pumping from down from the lowest point up to the highest point, and then pay to slow it down again. So our system can be better. Whereas other cities like Highland have an open space fee, transportation fee, some other cities have some growth, has a low fee here. Alpine has a small, it's hard to see at the end of this, but they do have a paramedic fee, similar to ours. And then our water and sewer fund revenue expense highlights. I spoke a little bit about the hiring process and what we're currently evaluating our organization structure and our public works building departments, and possibly splitting those out. Depending on those candidates that we get applications from. So we're going to be speaking about with those candidates in the coming weeks, and we anticipate that we'll have more information for the council, probably, hopefully, in the next meeting or earlier, so look for an email. But Bowling Collins has done a study in 2012 and 2016, they updated it, so I anticipate that we'll want to be evaluating that study again here in the next year or two as we evaluate where we are project-wise, maintenance-wise. We want to stay ahead of the curve so that we're not having to react to big issues, events, rather than we're applying those. But according to that study, they are anticipating a 6.4% rate increase on water, a 0% increase on PI, 6.5% on storm rate. They're proposing a 3% on sewer. And per our debt coverage ratio for our bond covenants, we have to maintain 1.25 ratio. These put us at 1.38. That allows us to do those maintenance projects and meet our bond covenants. That is the end of Charles' presentation. What questions can I answer? May I have?
Well, we can
do sessions. Yeah. So tonight we do have to adopt, well, we don't have to. I guess you can put it off if you'd like. It's not binding in any way, but we do, we're proposing we adopt a preliminary budget tonight. So that would be the motion is in the packet.
Mayor?
So before that, we have a public hearing.
Yeah, I was going to remind you. We had a public hearing.
Okay,
good.
Is there anybody here who wanted to speak? Public hearing regarding the tentative fiscal year budget. It's a full house item. Okay, and we're going to close the public hearing and move on to the motion if anyone's ready to make that.
I will make the motion to approve the tentative fiscal year 2019-2020 budget.
Motion made by Councilmember Anderson. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Councilmember Geddes. And you say it's a referendum style resolution. All those in, is that a resolution?
Mm-mm.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passed unanimously. So we will move on to item number 10, which is a review action on a resolution authorizing the mayor to sign an interlocal cooperation agreement related to the establishment of an intergovernmental program known as the Unified County Major Crimes Task Force.
So this interlocal cooperation agreement is between every municipality that is not receiving services for police from the county. So there's some smaller communities like Woodland Hills, Goshen, Vineyard are not party to this. Why I'm not certain of the details, it's probably because they're already represented by Utah County. But the point of this, if you go into the actual agreement, it says, whereas all the parties of this agreement share common problems related to illegal production, manufacture, sale, and use of controlled substances, illegal gang-related activities, and serious property crimes within their jurisdiction in violation of federal state laws, and whereas effective investigation and prosecution of violations of the Controlled Substances Act, gang-related activities, and serious property crimes require specialized personnel and regional cooperation. It says now therefore the parties do mutually agree specific in terms of this interlocal agreement. Basically, it's a combined effort that each member of the board, each member of this combined efforts in order to, it can help with investigations, and the problem is beyond one of the scope of one of the cities. There's provisions that allow for the board to provide services. Each city is allowed one vote on the board, and so on page 6, it does say that if a member of the jurisdiction wishes to request that the task force take over an investigation, the member's chief of police shall submit a request in writing to the task force director. So it does provide some assistance on some of these major issues that some of these cities are facing in terms of major crimes. And it is financed by each member city. Traditionally, we've been paying for major crimes, not in this format, but traditionally our bill has been about $3,400.
And that will continue to be the case with this.
I imagine it is. Lieutenant, is it based on population or usage? Do you know population? So I don't even anticipate it changing back 50 years if we go down.
So when you said the city has a member on the board, is that your for us? Would that be?
My understanding is we would be represented by the police chief on the mayor's board. And if that changes, if that is not the case, they let us know we'll go into the board.
So will the police chief have 2 votes?
That's a question I'm not sure I don't know the answer to. Because there is an American Fork is party to it and Cedar Hills is party to us. So there, that's where my question is. If the police chief is representing us, does he get 2 votes, which would seem odd? So it seems like there could be a need for another member of the city. Yeah, we'll just have to fill out vacancy as we're kind of aware of it.
Did they send us this agreement?
They did, yeah.
I'm just laughing at Larry Overton, who's listed as the chair of the county commissioners. It's been a while. All right, any questions? Anyone on this agreement?
I'll just make a quick comment. So it works with
occasionally with officers on the Mission Branch Task Force during my day job. Almost all the major drug busts that occur here in Utah County are a result of the efforts of the Major Crimes Task Force. A lot of times they're working with out-of-state agencies or cartels bringing stuff through our county, the large quantities for distribution. They'll also work with individuals who have purchased drugs to try and get them to work with them to help find the larger sources of drugs. Even if we might not think we don't have as much of a problem in Cedar Hills, it's still important for us to be a part of this because the drugs that large quantities that get brought into our county, they get distributed and there's users in our city. And it affects our property crime, it affects a lot of things. So they do a really good job supporting our community.
Thank you. Any other feedback? Not open to motion.
Okay, well, I'll make the motion that we approve resolution number 04-16-2019-A. Authorizing the execution of an interlocal cooperation agreement between Utah County and the City of Cedar Hills, Utah, regarding the Utah County Major Crimes Task Force.
Motion was made by Councilmember Anderson. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Councilmember Miller. Councilmember Miller?
Aye.
Councilmember Beatty?
Aye.
Councilmember Geddes?
Aye.
Councilmember Anderson?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. We'll move on to item number 11, which is a review action on a resolution authorizing the city to enter into a local cooperation agreement with Utah County for the administration of the 2019 municipal elections.
As I mentioned in my management report, Utah County, there is a municipal election this year. We have three vacant. We all have three open seats for the city council. And this, they're going to be doing the vote by mail again. That will be administered by the Utah County Elections and Recorder's Office. So this interlocal authorizes them to basically take charge of our election. They'll be working closely with Colleen on any issues that we may have. Costs associated with it is an Exhibit B of the agreement. And it comes out to be $18,716, or roughly $1.80 per election.
What was our last, how much did our last election cost?
That's pretty much in line with what we paid every year, whether we do it ourselves or go through the county. There could be a savings if there's not a primary, but typically you see a primary. So I would anticipate this number is close to $500.
If we did it ourselves, Gretchen and I spend many, many, many more hours than behind the scenes, so it's...
So you'd like us to go this way?
Yeah.
So for the same cost, we have them doing all the work. With the vote by mail, there's a signature verification process, and that's the time-consuming part, and so it's putting it on them to do, not us, which is very nice. Because we have other things we need.
Sure. All right. I'll take a motion if there are no questions.
I will make a motion that we approve resolution number 04-16-2019-B, authorizing the execution of an interlocal cooperation agreement between Utah County and the City of Cedar Hills, Utah, regarding the administration of the 2019 municipal elections.
Motion by Councilmember Anderson. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Councilmember Beatty. Councilmember Miller.
Aye.
Councilmember Beatty.
Aye.
Councilmember Geddes.
Aye.
Councilmember Anderson.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. We move on to item 12, which is a review action on a resolution supporting an effort related to changing Utah County's form of government to transition to the mayor and council form of government.
Would you like me to lead out?
I agree with you.
Okay. So this resolution just states to the, is a statement saying if you support the change of government now, then Utah County in office. I think the whereases that I think are important are, we've got a number of changing demographics here in the county where a three-member commission just doesn't do justice to representation for our county anymore. So this resolution states that by 2065 there's estimated 1.6 million people to live in this county, and the going down a couple lines, says, whereas a change to a mayor council form of government would separate the executive and legislative branches of government at the county level, and skipping one says, whereas a council of seven elected officials would provide greater representation for the county residents. I think that touches on many of the key issues of that, and many of the key problems that we have with the current form of government, with that the three members, it's very difficult to coordinate amongst themselves, given that two of them form a quorum. But not only that, it allows for more representation throughout the county. Any questions I can answer or Mary's can answer?
I think Joel is just...
Am I
biased?
It's a really good idea.
So I'll take a motion.
C. That we approve resolution number 04162019C supporting the change to the Utah County's form of government to a mayor council form.
Motion made by Councilor Levine, is there a second?
A second. Survey that there are certain types of beautification in open space that are highly valued throughout the community, and I think it should be a priority for the city council to protect and preserve and even enhance. And then the third highest was this top one. It's very difficult to read, but it does say commercial development. And it's we're optimistic in movement down there. Go through the down there to see a lot of movement this year. And then the final thing I wanted to point out on this one. I apologize, it's really difficult to read, it's going to be a vote, so. This lowest one says enhance communication with residents, and I'm going to come back to that. But the fact that the lowest priority was enhancing communication with residents says that we're communicating in a very effective way, that they don't feel like that's what we need to improve. But something to consider is that many of the proposals are in conflict with each other. So if you go into the open-ended section, there's a number of comments that were made. You have it in front of you, correct? Okay. We'll put it, it's in the packet. But many of the people said, we want a rec center, we want a pool, we want a library, we want to reduce taxes. These are at odds with each other. So you have to kind of go through those notes with that in mind. Question 3 said, we wanted to see where people were participating in our city-owned programs, and it was they shop, and they visit the parks, and they hike in Cedar Hills. What they don't do in Cedar Hills is die out. I think we already knew that. And then question 4 is, which of the following recreation facilities were developed or expanded in Cedar Hills? Far and away were bike bicycle walking paths and trail that were caught to boats. What I felt was interesting and good for the city was that a number of the other high boat getters, which they all kind of fall in line with each other in terms of priority, but if you look at this list, there's baseball, softball fields, basketball courts, soccer fields, pickleball courts, tennis courts, children's climbing structures, children's slides. All of those are going to be found in Harmon Park. So we're, I think we're addressing a lot of needs and a lot of wants in terms of how that park is being laid out. And then question five. I'm actually going to skip that one. Question six is on a scale of 1 to 5, meaning one doesn't try at all. 5 meaning tries very hard. How would you rate the city on attempting to communicate with its residents? 49.4% said 5 tries very hard. And that is, I think, by the way, your cap as a council, in efforts to be transparent and involve the community in everything that's going on. And creating that discussion, I think, has been very important, whether that's through the city newsletter, through the updates, or through Facebook or through blog posts. The Facebook and blog posts are not city owned and city operated. We don't maintain those as records, but I think residents do go to those places for information. So in comparison, in 2014, 19% said it tries very hard. Now it's up to 49.4%. So we've seen a big shift in the amount of people that are very satisfied with the amount of communication that residents have.
So I'm going to give you some stats on that one. I sent Chad a spreadsheet that I worked on, but I pulled the survey from 2011, 2014, and 2019. In 2011, on this question, 53% of residents gave us a 3 or lower, and 46% gave us a 4 or 5. And then in 2014, 42% of residents gave us a 3 or below, and 58% gave us a 4 or 5. And then in 2019, 19% of the residents gave us 3 or below, 82% of the residents gave us a 4 or 5. Now, that shows a considerable increase from 2011 to 2019. So, go team, I'm proud of all of us.
Great. I feel there's been a concerted effort, and seeing that is the fruits of that effort. So, congratulations, that's fantastic. Question 7 is always an interesting question. It's another question we've asked in past surveys, and we're asking again here is how do you prefer to be contacted? People don't want us to contact them through Twitter. I think we already do that. So, the most effective means of communication.
Oh, sorry. Can I ask one more thing? Sorry. There was one other question that we had asked on the three is how often do you feel your voices heard? Which question is that? Is on there. We asked this one as well, that how, on a scale of 1 to 5.
It's the next question.
Okay, yeah, so how well do you feel your voice is heard?
Right now.
So in 2000, because I think this goes with communication as well, in 2011, 72% of residents gave us a 3 or lower on how well their voice was heard. And 28% gave us a 4 or 5. In 2014, 68% gave us a 3 or below, and 32% gave us a 4 or 5. And in 2019, 49% gave us a 3 or below, 51% gave us a 4 or 5. So we have some room to improve there, but still, going from only 28% gave us a 4 or 5 to now 51%, I think it's also something significant improvement over the last few years.
That's a good point. I think you have to consider that on an isolated basis as well. Because some people feel like their voice is not heard if they don't get what they want. And some people, just what they ask is just beyond the scope of the city. But as a city, I feel like as a staff, especially, I can point to instances where staff has communicated in efforts above and beyond what's expected or what's required in an effort to provide a service to a resident. I'll give an example. Our utility billing, we send out monthly shutoffs. Well, the utility billing clerk, her name's Tara, if you remember better, that's fair. She sends out a courtesy email that's not required to each individual person saying, just so you know, you're on the courtesy, you're on the shutoff list, and makes multiple attempts to try to get them collected so that we don't get to the shutoff point. That's above and beyond what her role is, but I think that it's it speaks to her effort as trying to promote customer service in the city.
But I would say again, going from 28% agency of 4 to 5 to 51% agency of 4 to 5, that's
good. It's the right direction.
Absolutely.
But the way that we need to be communicating with residents is through the city newsletter, the website, and email. And one other thing is magenta color. two-thirds, it takes someone preferred or very preferred, prefer an automatic automated text message. That's something that maybe you use more. And then, has the city improved since your residency? Most people say it stayed the same. A couple people say it's definitely gotten worse, but many people say it's improved. So I think that's also very commendable. Question 10 is a very interesting question. It rates various city services on a scale of 1 to 5. And traditionally, the highest vote getter in the fives has always been this red bar here's waste management. They always get the highest amount of fives. People just love the fact that the truck comes and gets the trash. However, if you look at the mean for each one of these, so you have garbage and garbage collection disposal, their mean is taking all of the responses, putting them together, and giving about an average. Their mean is 4.27. The city council mayor, 4.28.
We came in first place trash.
Just launched trash. You get banner day at Cedar Hills. But if we look at this, we have other departments that are, I think, doing really well. Zoning building department doing really well, 4.25. Utility building department, 4.14. City management staff, 4.24. Pressure irrigation, 4.1. We have room for improvement, obviously, but I feel like overall our city services are rated very high. Please take the time to go through these open-ended questions. They're some of the times enlightening. Sometimes they're funny.
Yeah, don't let your kids read it.
There's some pirate language in there, so I'm careful. And I think that as far as the city, the rest are just demographic surveys and questions. But you can see that most of the people that took the survey have lived here for more than 7 years, so they should be tuned into what's happening in the city. Are there any questions on the citywide survey? No? Okay. We did do two other surveys I wanted Greg to go over. They are regarding the golf course and recreation. So pull those up. I'll start with golf, Greg, and recreation. Sorry, Greg. It doesn't like these. I'm not going to open them up again. Maybe they like that this kind of survey that you might hear. So let's start with that.
Okay, I'm going to start with recreation only because a lot of it kind of goes through what Chandler was just discussing with the city survey, because you notice a lot of things regarding recreation on that. So,
let's just go through this.
Have you all had a chance to read it by chance? Mm-hmm. Good stuff in bold.
Yeah.
To Chandler's point. There's been a shift over the years. I can't go back to data that he's had, you know, for city surveys. It's the first time we've done recreation and golf, and I think it's really good. But in the conversations we've had as staff together, there's definitely been a change over the years as well. I think in every department, to be honest with you. And I think recreation and golf, you'll see that. I'm actually really happy with a lot of these results. So the recreation survey was sent out to everybody who has participated. Signed up on our Rec 1, our software program, since we started, which has been over 2 years now. So, I believe we have 400 issues. Yeah. It's pretty good. It's actually really impressive. But you can see here, some of these are questions that we actually had, buttons they can push. Some of these are open-ended questions. So they can put their answers kind of like they do with the city survey. But you can see here, from this one, is the programs they participated in. Obviously, Junior Jazz, as you would imagine, is going to be our biggest program that most people participate in. I mean, this year, just last week, we went to the Junior Jazz banquet again with the Jazz, and we won again for the number one program in the entire state with 1,140 kids this year, which is just huge. So if you look at that percentage.
Yeah, we do bigger than the other. It's crazy.
You know, we're happy. I do have to start by giving Laurie she runs the programs. You'll see some of the comments here in the communication piece, you know, where we're understaffed and all that. That's true. You know, so we can't deny that kind of stuff, but she does a fantastic job, and I give her all the credit because a lot of times I'm not there because I have to jump in to help in golf or in events or whatever. But top soccer, obviously, that makes a lot of sense. That would be our number two program. I could use a little But you get a lot, you get an idea of the people. It's interesting that, you know, you see the people say that. Well, we send it to people that are in our programs. They have, so they participate in something, and you'll see that a lot in some of these. Some of these, I don't think people understood what we were asking. This is just a question of what programs are we participating in outside of us. Obviously, we don't have a true rec center, so there's some programs that we can't offer people. And there's, you'll see a lot of these in the same ones that we have. Again, remember that our recreation department services Highland and Alpine residents as well. And because of that, a lot of these people also have the opportunity to participate with American Board or Pleasant Grove. Or, you know, we have people as far away as Eagle Mountain and Draper that participate in our program because they want to play with their cousins, and it makes a lot of sense. So you'll see a lot of people that participate in other programs that disadvantaged at that point of their panels, non-resident fees. So I think we get a lot more play in our programs because of that, and the kids can play with their buddies. But if you look at that again, junior jazz is the big one. The number one, though, is the soccer program. And soccer is big, and I think over the years we've discussed that we've decided to stop at the second grade because that's when kids tend to go off and do their real club sports. And so for us, that's where our numbers stop, where we couldn't put together a schedule to have teams. And so we know what our niche is, we stick to that. But good information here. Some don't even participate in other programs, as you'll see there. And then you'll see a lot of the programs, the things that they say they have done. So that's where you're going to see some of those programs, you know, softball, pickleball, or we don't have a court. Some of the things that Chandler discussed that are going in the Harvey Park, you know, we'll have the ability to do that. Obviously, we don't have a swimming pool. We don't have a lot of the other amenities that other cities can do. So we're kind of tied with what we have. You know, Pleasant Grove is huge. They've got a big rec center. They can do cooking classes. They can do a lot of that kind of stuff, but we don't have the ability to do that. But, you know, Chandler and I were discussing this earlier today. You know, people used to always say that we don't utilize this building enough. We're pretty much maxing out. You know, there's a lot of things going on all the time now here, which is a really good thing. You know, today we started a whole bunch of new programs. This morning we had stretching and meditation going on at the same time. Tonight we had a science camp, and, you know, kids were just running all over the place. You can tell that the school's getting ready to get out, this kid that just wound up. Looking for recreation programs. What is important? So I like this question. What I really like is if you looked at this, and I don't know if you looked at it the way I looked at it. What I like to look at is, I'm going to run this a little bit farther here, as far as you can't really see. Hopefully you can see it on your computers. But what is important to them? This is what's the most important to them. And then how are we performing? And if you really look at that, price obviously is very important to people. Obviously we're exceeding expectations with that. Number of games played per season. Surprisingly, that's kind of low on their perspective, but we're exceeding them. However, on the flip side, you'll see some comments later on that we don't have enough. And honestly, I don't know that we have enough a lot of times. We're the first to admit that. That comes, the sad part about that is because of facilities. You know, when you have 1,140 kids and you have minimal schools, so you need your practice time for junior jazz programs, you know, and we only have so long for games. We're kind of limited to that. We can't expand it because then other people come in and take over the gym space at the schools. So that's a downfall that we're fighting with all the time. And it's not just us. It's every recreation department. Even recreation programs that have their own recreation centers, they struggle with space too. That's a big one. Communication, again, we exceed. Organization of games, that's kind of an interesting one where their expectations are pretty high and they say we don't do as good of a job. So obviously that's something that we can take. And go with it. Again, Chandler and I were discussing this morning. It's extremely hard for us to get officials any longer. When you go to Delta, they're talking about they're hiring $12 an hour, and we're starting these kids a lot less than that. So they'd rather go do that and not have to hear a parent scream and yell at them. So we have some battles that we're fighting against, but at the same time, we know, you know, Laurie and I had a long discussion about this last night. That's something we have to focus on. We have to do better. So more training for our supervisors, and just holding more accountability to them and making sure that we're fulfilling the end of our end of the bargain too. Playing with friends is an interesting one too, 3.95, and then we're exceeding it. Again, you'll see a lot of comments later on that they don't feel like that's fair, you know, and that's another situation that's constantly going on in other cities, you know, jazz, junior jazz, or with junior jazz or their own jazz, their basketball programs like American Sport has. A lot of times they have drafts. And the reason they have a draft, they have a tryout, is so they can spread the kids by their ability to play basketball. Whereas we allow kids to pick buddies. You know, we started with being able to say you can have up to three buddies. You know, for us, I don't really care. At the end of the day, we're in it for the kids to just have recreational opportunities and go out and have fun and be with your friends. If you can meet new friends and have a great time, that's a bonus. But we stop at like to the sixth grade levels where we kind of say, you know, you can't put your own team together, because that's when a lot of times they're coming in and they're just beating the tar out of the other teams, and it's not fair. So we know where, again, where limitations are. But again, that's obviously something they're saying that we need to do. We need to continue working with is working with them on understanding that, you know, we do allow the friends to play, but we have to have a limit at some point with the race. And then the type of programs offered, that's a correlation really because of, you know, we don't have the facilities. So we don't do as good as they expect us to do from their standpoint. But again, we're constantly looking and evaluating what are the things. I think you guys know that about us. We look at it and say, are they working or are they not? And then we'll stop them if they're not. You know, lacrosse is a great example. That used to be like huge. And it really just dropped off big time. So this year we're limited to one team per grade. We just don't get the participation. And in years to come, we may just drop it all together. It's just, it's becoming a high school sport. It's a sanctioned sport this year. So a lot of clubs are popping up and taking the kids. But it's the first year it's become a sanctioned high school sport. So that's kind of the race. But the team size, again, there's some people look at that, and then for us, we're exceeding it. However, there, you will again see some comments that people don't think we do a very good job of that. And the reason is our goal as a recreation department is that every kid gets a minimum of 50% at the end of play. There are some teams that want to have 12 kids on their teams, and we don't allow that unless they will call every parent on that team with the understanding, knowing the child will not get 50%, because we don't feel it's fair. As a parent, you pay your money. We want you to get as much playing time as the next kid. So that's where we will limit it. We will not allow that. Now, the same flip side, though, sometimes we can't get, let's say, 10. We may only have 8. And because of kids that may not be able to make it to certain games here and there, they feel like they're playing the entire game, which is tough. But again, in order to make our schedules, especially as you get in higher grades, we have to have so many teams, and so we spread it out. And so sometimes you will see those comments. Some people love them. Some hate it. It's like any question you ask, you're never going to appease everybody. So, you know, we have to do the best we can. Any questions on that? I think for the most part, I think we do a really good job. But again, there's things we can learn from. And this is just a graph. I have to give Brooke a lot of credit. Brooke that left us, the channel mentioned earlier, she was a culture genius. She put all these reports together for us. For her last day, she put the golf one together. She would not leave until she got it done for us, which was awesome.
Is that a Qualtrics program for them? I mean, that's when they said, okay, we'll graph it based on performance and important buttons.
Yeah, she grabs that haven and she put it together.
But that's a template that they give us to do that with.
Yeah, she should have set it all up on Qualtrics for both of these. And this is the same thing. This is the same thing. It's just kind of graphing it. Anything on the right hand side is above average, and so this is good. I think we have time, so I'll do it. If you have any questions, yeah, me too. This is an interesting one that we really wanted to hit upon. Is, you know, a couple years ago, we decided to go to the reversible degrees because it's a lot quicker. We have it on hand. We can start our programs quicker, the seasons, rather than going to one of our vendors and saying, hey, we need all these teams together in separate colors, and it takes some time to order it and put all the logos and everything on it. So we went to this reversible jersey, and as you can see, it's been a big win. For us, we started with the belief that we would use it for more of our programs, but we got a point where there's some programs that don't need like our teen soccer program started yesterday. We still do shirts for that. So we stopped registration a little bit before, because they don't want the little nerdy flip-flop, you know, reversible jersey. They like a cool design on the front. And our reversible jerseys, I'm sure you've all seen them, they're, you know, the colors of the one piece, we kind of match the two of our demographic.
Anti-rich,
yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think of that. But you'll see a lot of comments here. This one doesn't have as many. Gross. But honestly, the little kids love them. And what I love is being in the community, seeing a kid in a reversible shirt. And I see it a lot. It's fun. And it's cool seeing the little kids. That's the biggest joy we get, seeing the kids, the smiles. This was another one we were really interested in, is if we started some adult programs, what would we be interested in? And shockingly, most of them would say, we're not interested at all. We don't want to do any. You'll see some below. Again, that was an open-ended question. The programs, if you were interested, what would you be? But obviously, the number one for this one is the pickleball, which that's a huge rate right now. There's no question about that. And And I'll preface this, you guys all know Laura's very, very passionate about pickleball. She loves the sport, and that's something that she was telling, we were talking today about this, and she said, you know, a lot of people get stressed. What do they do when they get stressed? She said, my stress is playing pickleball. And I totally get it. So pickleball is obviously a big one, and that's what a lot of people would do, but volleyball. And if you scroll down, you'll see the other ones. You'll see the, sorry, I'm not keeping up with myself. You'll see some soccer. Soccer down there, you'll see.
Why do you do tennis?
Tennis is in there. Yeah, there were some tennis ones in there. And that, again, that's an adult one. You know, the interesting thing is there's people like Charles. Charles loves tennis, and there's people that like to play tennis. Billiards. Women's basketball, yoga. Anyway, those are an interesting one for us. So again, something we've talked about for many years is do we go after? Again, Laurie's the only, besides myself, it's Laurie. That's all we have for recreation. And so she's kind of limited with what she can do based on her number of hours she gets a week. But, you know, we always want to look and see what we can do better.
My favorite response on that one is the person who just put, they're too old. Too old for everything.
Yeah. This goes to kind of what Chandler was touching on with the city ones. Do you feel the recreation department hears you and these issues resolved? If you look at the raw numbers here, obviously, for the most part, we're doing an awesome job. You know, 95% of people feel like we're either doing a great job or they've never even had to call us before. The 5% are the ones we're going to read about. Again, to the point of you're never going to make everybody happy. You know, when I read some of these, you know, I say with a grain of salt, and I obviously we're going to look at that and say, how can we do better? Knowing how Laurie works, some of these are kind of hard to understand and agree with from my perspective. That's just personal perspective. Because we have a 24-hour return policy, you know, we will always get back to everyone within 24 hours, no questions asking. She's got a legal pad, she's got everything written down with the voicemails. Again, when they say after 5 o'clock, we don't go to Carolyn's because we don't have any work after 5 o'clock. You know, we have to cancel a game. I get it on remotely, and we cancel a game on our rainout hotline. So it's not a perfect system, we know that, and we'll continue to address it and see what we can do better. But for the amount of programs we do, I'm content with what we have, with what we're doing and how we're doing it. But again, we're going to take all these comments and we're going to talk about it, address them, because if there's something we can learn from these, which I think there is something we can learn from these, then we're definitely going to do it. Are there any questions on any of those you read at all? This goes to the communication piece that Chandler talked about too, when you hear about our programs. Word of mouth obviously is the biggest. I think the weekly email is a big one. As I was thinking about that today, going over this, that's a big one for Cedar Hill residents, obviously. But we sent a weekly email, but the Highland and Alpine developer. Mike, before he retired, now Sarah, they have all the stuff we send them from the newsletter, the weekly emails. They forward to Alpine and Highland, and they told us they'll put them in there. So I don't know if they get to those all the time. So I've struggled for many years, and Chandler can attest to this. Trying to get through to their councils to allow us to put up some signage in their cities, and it's just, we get a brick wall. And they just don't allow it. So we do the best we can. I think for the most part, it really is a little amount in those cities, unfortunately.
So Greg, I'm assuming when somebody signs up, though, they give us their email address. So could we put together a special email group for those recreation, those people in recreation, especially outside of our city, where we're just sending them recreation updates?
Yeah, when we do that.
Oh, yeah.
So every time we have a registration set up, people tend to wait until the last week. We always find that. We always freak out about our numbers thinking, oh my goodness, we're going to do this, and then the last week is just everyone realizes it. We always, 2 weeks prior, we'll always send out a batch of email reports. Everyone who participated with us in the same program the year before, and just say, reminder, for you to go.
But should we send out something like we do in the weekly survey that's separate? So if you did karate, do we want to email them and say, hey, just, you know, junior gossip nights are coming up, or what class? So
we take all participants,
yes.
Kind of like these people, so we go,
yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we
do. I'm just wondering, because on the second one, on 12, this is the preferred way. There were several people who sent in the other email, such that I sent out living your city, some other needs is good. I'm just curious as to how we reach out to those non-residents.
I think we can do that. You can probably put together a monthly or a bi-monthly.
email that you send out.
I tend to not want to do it too much though, because then people opt us out.
Sure.
Right, so by, I think if you do it through a service that allows them to unsubscribe.
Absolutely. But if they're not, if the other cities are having a hard time getting their newsletters, that might be another way just to let people know what they need.
Yeah, and I hope that we can continue the relationship we've had with Ohio Lunar Alpine for some of the changes coming up. They've always been good for us. They're a great way for us to be able to increase our numbers, obviously. So we have to say that that's even less because of that. But this goes again to how do you want to receive information in the future? And again, city emails is the biggest one. And so a lot of people, it's funny because a lot of people don't read emails, it's where they want to get it from. That's emails, and then newsletters is the second, which is pretty high. And the banners, obviously the banners are around about, they are huge. And that's what I've been really trying to get with the other cities, Ohio and Alpine.
I like what you guys are doing.
I think those banners are awesome. In fact, Jeff's had one sitting in their bay for probably 2.5 years now, waiting for us to be able to utilize them. They won't leave me okay for whatever reason. Their councils just don't want to do it. So, but again, I think this is good information for us to learn for the future of how we can do better in our programs. And then the cities, what cities you live in, obviously the majority, half of them are from our own city, which is great. And you'll see there's some of the others where they come from. Like our theater program, we get them from all over the place. You know, it's the Springvilles, the Drapers, the Eagle Mountains, because it's just such a highly respected theater program, and Jordan and Nicole do a great job with that. That goes right in line really with what we're seeing for sure ourselves, so the survey doesn't lie. Any questions or anything with that? Oh, and the final thing. Grand scope of things at the end, it does have just a final thing. Are you willing to recommend cereals? It goes from a negative 100 to a 100. Anything over a zero is great. So we're at 16.5 for this. So in that standard, we're doing a great job. But again, we can always do better, and we're going to focus on that. All right. Any questions on the recreation part of golf?
No, I think recreation seems to be a great job. I think for city outside, we have quite a few opportunities. I think most of our sites would have that in the opportunity, so I think those guys are thrilled with so many things that they're being involved in the community.
Yeah, one thing I didn't touch upon is there was a comment that really stood out to me in there about somebody saying that we get threatened if we don't have a coach that we got to step up and do it. It's not like the person who said, let's keep these guys again this time. You know, it's just a luck of the draw.
Yeah.
And again, like getting referees sometimes. It's extremely hard for your parents to step up to volunteer, and I get it, they're busy. They're really, really busy. So we try to work with the parents, and Laurie does a great job with this, where she sends emails to the entire team and say, parents, we know you're busy, tag team it together, come up with an idea, and then she sees the emails going back and forth between parents, and it always works out. We were supposed to start top soccer tonight, we canceled yesterday knowing what was going on today and pushed it to tomorrow, but we were able to communicate with the parents and get everything. I mean, we needed, when it was all said and done, 7 coaches to step forward, and we got one. So it works every time. Just some people feel like we're kind of picking out a more. Now, with the golf survey, again, what city do you live in? A lot of people say our own residents know golf at our golf course.
Sorry, this is only for golfers. This is a list created for people that have golf at our course.
And this is, again, was sent to everybody that has booked a tee time with their email address with us since we started 4UP, which has been about 3 years now. So it went out to, I want to say, 4,000 people.
That's 700 responses.
4,200 people, something like that. And for us to entice people to do this, we sent along a little coupon again saying, if you fill this out, bring in this copy, and we'll give you take your car key the next time you come out. Just to say, let's get some business out of this too in the springtime, which if we have good weather, we could probably be benefiting from it. So that's hurt us. But again, 59% coming from other cities, which is interesting. And that doesn't surprise me with Wade's marketing campaign. He does a great job with that Valpak and Groupon. Do a lot of those. And so a lot of those hit the South Salt Lake Valley and then the Orem area out that way. So it doesn't surprise me, but 11% do come from Cedar Hills, which is great. And then how often do people come? You know, this is an interesting one again, because 34% of people say they come once per month. The one thing about golfers, and I'm glad Councilmember Geddes is here, she can back me on this, golfers like variety. That's why sometimes we don't sell some season passes, because people want to go to different courses and get a variety. And so 34% coming once a month plus is great. Once per week, 13%. You know, we have a group from Councilmember Geddes' neighborhood that has their every Thursday night, men's club. And they've got 44 people now. It's great. So we get a lot of people now coming. Within the last year, 25%. And so more than a year, only 4%. And again, I would love to have seen a survey from 4 years ago to see where people felt 4 years ago to today. And as golfers, I really have to give credit to Brian from the maintenance staff of the golf course. The golf course has come night and day difference. We used to be known as a track. Our bunkers were horrible. We just had a lot of things that were not good. And he has completely turned the course around. We haven't even turned on the water system this year. The grass is green out there. You know, so he does a fantastic job with a very limited budget. The Wade's doing a great job. And I'll point some things out here, but were some comments in there that I really liked. Again, if you go to the next one, though, I'd like this again. What's important to them versus how are we doing? So some of these are a little interesting. Conditions of the golf course. Obviously, a golfer likes, that's going to be high up on their list for the most part. 4.19 is what it is to them. They're saying we perform at 3.89. That's still great. You know, anything over 3 is still great. So I'm very content with these numbers. But at the same time, again, we can do better. Wade does a great job stocking his pro shop. Some golfers really don't care. They don't want to come in and buy some merchandise. But for those that do, they do. He blows that number out of the water versus what they want versus how well he does. And so that's one big thing that really helps with his tournaments, because then he's selling that merchandise when they get their winnings after their tournaments. The staff service, a 3.46 is expectation, and they're performing 3.82. That's fantastic. This one shocks me. Cost of around to them, 4.43, and we're at 3.77. We're the lowest in the valley. I don't know how we can do better. That's a Utah County ticket. I'll just leave it at that. There's a lot of truth to that. Our course marshals, you'll see a lot of comments later on about our marshals. That's something that I think we definitely know we can do better on. We have some great guys that come out every day and help us on our course. And it's something we need a little bit more training on. But to them, we're doing better. And that's great from my perspective. And I know Wade's going to focus on that a lot more. Pace of play, we actually have tee time 10 minutes apart. A lot of courses do 8 minutes apart. So pace of play, to say that we're under a little bit on their expectations, it's actually kind of surprising. Because I actually think it flows really, really well up there. The best day is Sundays. That's the best day when we have ballers. So again, we'll take this grain of salt. These are things that we talked about a lot this morning and a couple of weeks ago when we met to go over this with Brian and Austin and Wade. And I think there are great things that we can have. Just get an idea of where people golf out when they don't come here. Fox Hollow obviously is our neighbor, so it makes a lot of sense that they're going to be the highest. Sleepy Ridge, Thanksgiving Point, I think back in the day that would have been a lot higher. They have really gone down. And I think they're going through a little bit of a transition right now with Vanguard selling out to Troon on their maintenance. So they're hopefully good. From their perspective, hopefully things get better. Because that's a great course if they can keep it up, but the conditions are really, really long. Hobble Creek's been around so long that it's going to be a staple for a lot of people. It's a beautiful place just up in the mountains. It's just a great setting. So some good numbers again where people are coming from. On a scale of 1 to 5, how do people feel about the speed of our greens? You know, this is another interesting one. We're performing above average at 3.17. People think it's a little too fast.
What is that?
So it's called, for golf, we stem the greens. So what that means is Brian's got this little tool he sets up, and he'll take a ball and roll it, kind of how far it rolls. The average arc, I asked him today actually, what are our greens stemming at right now? We're about 9.5. If you go on the PGA Tour, they're up around 14.
These are really fast. So if you hit the ball, it goes a lot farther. But pros like that because the ball rolls truer, faster.
Yeah. And we have had it up around 11.5, 12. But a lot of times weather plays into that too. When it's really dry or when he's vertical cutting and cross cutting the greens, which he does a couple times a week, you can get it faster. But 9.5 is a great speed for us. But this is, again, you have to take this grain of salt, because the average golfer versus the amateur golfer, there's two different perspectives.
And so you play, like a lot of our people play Fox Hollow, their greens are way slower. If they're used to them, then they come to ours, they're too fast.
Yep. Yeah, a lot of people do that. And this was an interesting one. This was an open-ended question, just so you're aware. What amenities can be changed on court added to improve your golf? This wasn't something where they can go check out box. And so this was something that this was just literally a feedback. Nothing, that speaks highly, I think, for the most part. I'll be honest, that surprised me. I thought food and drink would be above, because that's the one we struggle with the most, and we hear the most complaints about. So that doesn't surprise me. It's there as the number two. Pace of play, again, surprises me. Water's present, because I actually think that's something they focus on daily, coolers out there. But that's, again, something we need to look at. GPS locating systems, I mean, this is all great stuff, but that costs a lot of money. A lot of courses are going that way, but it's a lot of money. Alcohol pricing, you know, there's a lot of stuff there. So this has anything that there was two or above that you'll see on there. And then if you go down.
So I have a question about that. If you go into the comments, there were like five that said chipping areas. What is a chipping area?
There was a lot. So our putting green that's right here behind the golf course. Golfers, the high-end amateur good golfers like to have a place where they can come for and do chipping and putting.
So a chip is a shorter distance, so you're chipping onto the green. So we don't, our course doesn't really have, we have one out at the practice range, but there's no distance from it. You have to be right around it. So people like anywhere from like 30 to 40 feet at least to hit something up. We don't have that, and we don't have the room for it.
And we don't have the space. And so we've talked a lot about this since the survey, because it's prevalent on the comments. And it's a great comment, because if we want to attract big tournaments in the future, it's something you definitely need. If you go to Alpine Country Club, if you ever driven to Alpine Country Club, as you drive in their parking lot, there's a little practice green right to the side as you first drive in there. They've got their own designated chipping green. Because a lot of times people can't chip here, but we ask them not to, because when you're that far back and then you're chipping from 25 feet, you're hitting the high, and it's plugging in the green, it's damaging the green. And golfers don't tend to fix that. So it's actually hurting the course. But that was a very prevalent comment on here, so it's something we're talking about. If we can find a way to make it happen, it's definitely something that we want to talk about. There was quite a few comments in there, though. Did any of them stick out to you guys?
Platinum D-Box, which I agree on about three or four D-Box stuff.
You know, and Brian's comment today on that was, that's what we're going to complain about the most.
I agree. I mean, there's three boxes.
Because they have done it. They've worked on those over the years. One other thing, the practice range is a little unorganized. As you know, we're putting in the poles and the nets. That is something we're actually going to improve this year. So there's a, for you that have been down there, there's the tee boxes, there's two decks, and then there's a little bunker up to that. Nobody uses the bunker. So we're going to grass that in from the dirt that's been taken for the poles. Move that dirt in there, and we're going to extend the tee boxes. It's a little bit.
The Marshalls, I noticed complaints about Marshalls on here a lot when I read through it.
Yeah, you'll see that a lot.
Complaint? I mean, I don't know what's going on.
We'll see that a lot at golf courses, and it's because they're holding people accountable. People don't like being held accountable when they go drive off into the native and you're damaging cars, and the marshal has to say, can you get out of there? But that will take again.
You're slowing down to keep up with the group. People don't like to be told.
They don't like it, but one thing, again, we'll take from that is, you know, a better way of doing it. You know, maybe a more polite way. You know, somewhere that they can focus on.
There's a grumpy guy out there, and I know who it is.
But I don't even know who that is.
The reference. I think I know who it is. But.
The one that really was, I really liked was the one that said, fewer tournaments.
Yeah, I saw that. Fewer tournaments.
That's a compliment. That means Wake's doing something right.
Yeah.
Because that's where we're making our money, is from tournaments. So to me, that's I love that comment.
Where did I see they want an attractive cart girl or something like that? What's that comment?
Up to that, I'll just say golfers are...
Mostly men?
Male golfers are chauvinistic, their pigs.
Oh.
You know, and then, honestly, you will hear that a lot from golfers. Is you get a good looking girl out here, we'll tip them well. That's just a stupid comment, and you'll hear that a lot. But that's just a golf term. You know, you'll see a lot of people saying we need to be able to play more on the back nine. That's just tough with our layout. If we had cameras, we could possibly do that. But the minute we send somebody down to the back nine, and then let's say Councilmember Geddes, we sent out an hour and a half earlier. Typically, like, it takes 2 hours to play, but if he's playing fast and he hits that tee box and we just sent somebody in front of them, he's ticked. And then that's what we hear about it. So it's really impossible not knowing he's down there. So sometimes we do work with our marshals. When somebody's really out of it and says, I want to play the back, we'll have a marshal go greet him down there and then work it in to where it's a win-win for both. But that one golfer that went out and now gets slowed down because he sent something in front of him is just going to be just ticked off.
So do you only ever let foursomes out?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so that, I saw a couple of complaints about that. That seemed strange. And quit stealing balls on nine. Would you quit?
That just means he's...
That means he's hitting his ball up on the
other wall. Because it's...
There's no way for him to get his ball.
To the right, you tend to lose your ball all the time.
All right, and then the last one, again, just an overall, how likely you recommend CRLs again? We're at 12.63. So again, we're above zero, which is, I'll say, good to great. We're not great, but we've come a long way. We're going, and we're doing a lot better. The guys are doing a fantastic job.
By the way, there's a couple questions about women and stuff. I want to say, I think I've seen more of them on the golf course.
Every year it's getting better.
Every year, yeah.
Didn't we have a golf camp for
the weekend? We did. We didn't get anyone to sign up, so we had to cancel it. When we have ladies come in and ask us about it, we always tell them, you know, put the onus on you. You know, find your girlfriends to come out here. The more that come out here, the more we'll be willing to put things on. But to run a club.
And I say that as a way, there's no scientific proof of that. I'm just saying I've seen it. Because we don't, a person makes a tee time for four people, we don't put everybody's name down. So we don't know if it's a male or female that play. But I've just seen, it just seems to me, and Wade can probably verify it.
No, it's definitely better.
But I've seen a lot more couples, which I really love seeing. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah, and some people consider this a harder golf course. And so when you have a harder golf course, sometimes that women don't come out because of that. But if they want to come out and hang out with their husband, we get a lot of that. So that's been good. We will help and we'll continue to work on that because, you know, we don't have a lot of merchandise in the pro shop for the ladies either. And so the more we get to come in, the more we can get. And then that helps us in the long run too. So again, we can take a lot of information from this. It's positive. There's some learning curves for us. And I think this is a great tool for us to utilize for recreation and golf. Good questions?
Everything's going great. Yeah. And Tiger won, so golf is on the uprise again.
I don't even know what that means, but
Tiger won the Masters on Sunday. Tiger won for the fifth time. First time in 14
years. All right. Well, then I will take a motion to adjourn.
Move that we adjourn.
Motion by Councilmember Geddes, is there a second?
Second.
Second by Councilmember Miller, all those in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned.